The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio went to the polls on May 4th. All but three city council seats and the mayor were decided. For these, we're having runoffs. Early voting for the runoff races for District 2, 4, and 6 and the mayor will start on May 28th, end on June 4th. Election day is June 8th. Here on The Source, we are bringing you the runoff candidates in open forums. Yesterday, we heard from District 4. Today, we have the candidates from District 2, the runoff candidates, Keith Toney and Jada Andrews Sullivan. And you get to ask the questions. Call in at 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. The questions have to be open-ended, so both candidates have an opportunity to answer. Please don't make a speech. And the number again is 210-614-8980. We have the candidates giving open remarks. They have 2 minutes each for that. Then we alternate who goes first on the questions, 2 minutes for those answers. And then we have 1 minute closing remarks at the end of the hour. We do have our rule in place that if a candidate tries to characterize their opponent and their positions, we're going to have to cut them off and give that opponent a chance to respond, and then we move on. We flipped a coin earlier to determine who's going to go first, and that's going to be Jada Andrews Sullivan and with opening remarks. And ma'am, you have 2 minutes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us this morning. Again, my name is Jada Andrews Sullivan. I am a lifetime resident of District 2. I went to all of the SAISDs, so from Gates Elementary, Martin Luther King Middle School, graduated with honors from Sam Houston High School, and decided to pursue my education with the University of Texas at Austin. And so I was there for 2 years, went to the United States Army, and then I got out of the Army because I fell off of an obstacle course where I injured my back. I have four wonderful children. I call them my little grown people because they're grown, but they're still at home with mom. And I have a wonderful mother who is my backbone and my support system. And I'm looking to make a true change in the way that District 2 operates. We can be the beacon of light for the city of San Antonio. There's so much possibility and opportunity there in District 2. So bringing back the small businesses and uplifting those small businesses that we have, making sure our youth have a reason and a source to go to actually have a light that they can say, you know what, I see you, you see me, and we're growing together. And then looking at our seasoned population and making sure that they have accessibility, accountability, and action from their city council person with full transparency is what we're looking to bring to the table. So we are definitely happy, humbled, and excited to be here. And District 2, your voice needs to be heard. So we look for you to get out there to those polls during this runoff. Again, thank you for having me.
And now we have 2 minutes, opening remarks from Keith Toney. Sir.
Thank you, David, for having me. And I want to thank Jada as well for the kind of race that she's run. The two of us have focused on the issues, and that's what we've tried to do. I'm Keith Toney. I'm a former city councilman in District 2. And experience matters, as all of my literature says. It does. And we need to go in there, hit the ground running day one. I have a working relationship with almost everybody down at City Hall, to include the city manager. I've worked with him, and so we know each other. I'm proud to have the endorsement of the AFL-CIO and the Texas Organizing Project. I'm a former Neighborhood Association president, so I know what it means to listen to people. I know what it means to act on their concerns. I also spent 15 years as a school board member. So there's been a matriculation up through public service for me. This is not something that's new to me. District 2 is pregnant with potential. We just haven't had continuity of purpose because we've had five council persons in 5 years, and you just can't have that. So we need someone who's not looking beyond District 2. I'm not looking to do anything else politically, have no other political aspirations. District 2 is the shining city on the hill for me. I want to take care of our seniors. We have a plan to do that. We have an issue with crime, but crime is a symptom. It's a symptom of hopelessness and helplessness. How do we address it? We right now have many, many developers who want to do business in District 2, and that's not necessarily a bad thing because we need more rooftops. We need more infill. But what I want them to do as a condition of working in District 2 is help us. Help as a council person, if I become council person, help me, help my community by giving us some money, giving us some funds and resources that we can train people up so that instead of these youngsters out here causing mayhem, that they'll be on a job.
All right, and that was Keith Toney, a candidate in the runoff race for District 2. Also with us is Jada Andrews Sullivan, the other candidate in that race. And we invite your calls with questions for the candidates. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's go to Cheryl. And Cheryl, welcome to The Source. Your question, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is Cheryl. I was calling. My question is for Jada Sullivan. We were interested. We had asked Mr. Toney this prior. We were interested in her upper management skills. We noticed that the Express News had called her a rookie.
So, we don't want you to make a speech. So we have the question. It's going to be going to both the candidates. You just don't ask because we want to give everyone a chance to answer these questions. And both of them have a lot to talk about when it comes to their experience in dealing with things. So let's go first to Jada Andrews Sullivan. And you have 2 minutes to talk about your experience. The question coming from Cheryl.
Awesome. Thank you, Cheryl, so much for calling in with that question. When you speak about my upper management skills, I have done a lot as far as working with the School of Excellence in Education. I went from being a pre-K-4 teacher to working in the Human Resources Department to actually being the Assistant Athletic Director. So I handled the largest budget within the School of Excellence in Education, making sure that our students had the uniforms that they need. I ordered uniforms, making sure we had transportation to and from games, and making sure that each dollar was accounted for with the state of Texas when it came to the budget. At that time, we were in an audit with the state of Texas, and the athletics department was the only budget that did not have a cent missing. I've also done government contracts as a veteran, and so I've worked in the medical review board, making sure that our students that receive the ROTC scholarships, making sure that their medical records were on par to get them into West Point, to get them into the Air Force Academy, and then also worked into Goodwill, where we did medical records for veterans that were filing claims and making sure that those forms and those records were scanned into the system properly, uploaded, and sent over to the VA. I worked with QTC, where we had 6 months of training. So we were on the job for more than 4 months before we can even actually touch a medical record. We had to QC those records, which means we had to make sure that the quality of that record for that veteran going in for a claim based on what the VA was looking for, specifically from doctors as they did the evaluations, were up to par. So those are some of my management skills. And I'm also a leader within my community with my sorority. So thank you so much, Cheryl.
All right, and that was from Jada Andrews Sullivan and Keith Toney, the candidate for District 2 City Council. Sir, you have 2 minutes.
Cheryl, thank you for the question. My management experience goes back. I'm retired from the federal government after 35 years as a federal employee. Over those years, I managed many, many employees. In addition, I have a master's degree from Pepperdine University in Human Resources Management. I have spent 10 years as a school board president, a total of 15 years on the school board, but 10 years as president. So we managed many, many employees. We also, of course, hired and never had to fire, thank God, a superintendent of schools, but that's part of what the job description entails. We have to manage people out of experience. We have to manage them out of compassion. I have experience at doing that. Many years. And then, of course, on City Council, the time I was there, we had to manage budgets, we had to manage people. So I thank you for the question. Management is something I have a lot of experience, again, 35 years as a federal employee.
Okay. And now let's go back to the phones with another question. And this is with Bonnie. And Bonnie, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask if either of the candidates was interested in getting a full-service hospital in our district.
All right, Bonnie, thank you for that. And Keith, Tony, sir, you have 2 minutes.
Absolutely, Bonnie. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Yeah, we need a full-service hospital. We've needed one for a long time. We're happy for the Hilliard Clinic that recently went up, and we thank Commissioner Tommy Calvert for all his work to help get that done. But we need a hospital. It is unconscionable to me that we have to travel to the medical center, and they do great business, and they do great service, and they take care of people well. But we have to get there. So we absolutely need our own full-service, full-scale hospital in District 2, preferably on the south, between the southeast and the near east side.
All right, and now Jada Andrews Sullivan, you have 2 minutes.
We greatly appreciate your call in, Bonnie. And when it comes to hospitals, we lost Southeast Baptist when it moved to Mission Trails. That was the closest hospital to District 2 that we had. And so when you look at our population of seasoned elderly residents, making sure that they have somewhere to go in an emergency is the utmost that we can do for our community. We must start looking at our vulnerable citizens, looking at our children, looking at our patients that are asthmatic, looking at our residents that have COPD. Those are like emergency situations, and we have to have hands-on. We have a clinic, but they're not surgically available to us at this time, and they're looking to make that happen. But we do need an upgoing, true medical emergency care center, because we don't have time to get to the medical center when there's an emergency. We need to have access, and we need to have services such as EMS that can get our residents to that hospital expediently. Thank you.
Okay, and now we've got a question here. This is an email question that we got from Ben. And how high on your list is of your priorities is solving our stray dog problem? Please explain your short-term and long-term plans regarding reducing the number of stray dogs that we have in our district. This has been a problem for years. Doesn't seem like that situation is improving. And Jada Andrews Sullivan, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Ben, for your question. That is one of the things that we have noticed. I know we have a shortage with our animal care services at this time. So making sure that we team up and partner up, even if we have to partner with Petco, to get those services, to add some additional trucks, add some additional workers to combat the problem that we have with our stray animals. I know at the time we are spay and neutering the cat situation and then we release them back. But we need truly to have our residents step up and assist us with that. It takes anywhere from 2 to 3 calls within a residential area to send someone out to get a stray animal. I believe that if we have one call, that is enough to send someone in that area to start looking for these animals, get them off the street, especially if they're vicious or violent animals that can hurt our young, hurt our elderly population. Making sure that we have those services in place is a definite need, and we as a city must step up to ensure that our community is taken care of. Thank you.
And now we go to Keith Tony, other candidate for District 2 runoff, to talk about the stray dog problem.
Thank you very much for that. A good friend of mine was attacked by 2 pit bulls on the east side not long ago, a few years ago, and he was seriously injured. So this is something that's near and dear to me. We need more spay and neuter clinics that are accessible to the residents. We need additional visits by the mobile clinic. And also, there's something else we can't forget, pet owner responsibility. We need to really come down hard on pet owners who are not responsible owners. And that onus is on them to make sure that their pets are properly quarantined, properly fenced, so that no one gets hurt. So pet owner responsibility will be a big one, and also more spay and neuter clinics.
Okay, and now let's go to a voicemail that we have, and go ahead.
It seems to me that one of the major issues is the rising cost of appraisals. So I don't know if doing away with appraisals or lowering the appraisals is something the city council can handle. I've heard a lot of candidates talk about we're going to fix the tax problem on appraisals, and no one has done anything. And I was wondering if you can comment about that.
Okay. Appraisals, property taxes, big issue we're having these days. And Keith Tony, sir, you have 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you for that question. BCAD is working hand in hand with the state legislature to handle that. That's not really something that is in the wheelhouse of council persons, although anything that affects us negatively or positively affects our constituents, we're concerned about, and we are concerned about that. Appraisals are too high. They're too high. It is, again, unconscionable that in the United States of America, and certainly in San Antonio, Texas, a city we love so much, that someone who bought their home in their 50s, raised their children, paid their mortgage, and now has to worry at night when they go to sleep that they are going to lose their home because of the appraised value of that home and the tax that comes with it. So, yes, that's something we will work with state legislatures on, and get that done.
And Jada Andrews Sullivan, what to do about the property taxes and the appraisals?
Education is key. When you look at the appraisal and you look at the property taxes and how they are increasing, making sure that our residents are educated on how to protest their taxes, how to protest that property value to get it at a level to where they are comfortable with making those payments towards the taxes. Making sure that they understand to protest that property value as it escalates to get it at a level to where they think it's sufficient for them to be able to afford it. We need to do more education. We need to bring in a district person that has specialty working in our district office to specifically handle the calls and the concerns of our community when it comes to our property taxes. I know the city council in past has spoken about doing a research study on the appraisal district, which is going to cost almost $80,000 for us to do. We truly need to do something now. We don't need any more research. We have a system that can be properly worked if we make sure that our residents are properly educated. We need to make sure that we have someone in place that can touch our residents and get them the knowledge they need to properly protest their property value and their property taxes. Thank you.
And now let's go back to the phones. And this is Curtis. And Curtis, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, a recent member of the San Antonio bicycling community, Tito, was killed in District 2 by a drunk driver. And District 2 has always been difficult to navigate as a pedestrian or on a bicycle. And I was wondering what they were going to do about improving that with things like bicycle lanes, better sidewalks, lighting, so on.
All right, Curtis, thank you for the call. And Jada Andrews Sullivan, District 2 candidate in the runoff, you go first with 2 minutes.
Thank you, Curtis, so much. As we were block walking, what we found out is a lot of the bicycle community are requesting those protected bicycle lanes. And so in the District 2 area, we really don't have any protected bicycle lanes. Our sidewalks are so narrow, you can't ride your bicycle on a sidewalk. So we must start taking some of the necessary action to ensure that our community is very well taken care of. We now have kids that are riding bicycles. We have families that ride as a pack. And we do now have a community that is evolving and evolving into more of the bicycle transportation mode. And so when we have those protected lanes in place, when we have the atmosphere of the sidewalks that are open and wide use, then we start making a change. We start adding the community protection that we need to have for those that are bicyclists, and we need to make that step forward. We have a budget that we have in place, and we can definitely do that.
And now we go to Keith Tony to talk about where is your priority on bike safety.
Curtis, thanks for that. With today's technology, I just don't see why we can't have smart bicycle lanes. By smart, I mean well-defined bicycle lanes. Perhaps some sort of luminous reflectors that let bicyclists know where their lanes are, and more importantly, let drivers know that this is a bicycle lane. You don't want to veer into it. And also, let's really come down hard on people who are, first of all, of course, drunk drivers, and secondly, those who are distracted drivers with their cell phones and that sort of thing. So I want to empower the police department to really come down tough on them, because that's just as dangerous statistically as being drunk, to be a distracted driver. And our bicyclists are going to suffer. And we had this tragedy when Tito was killed right there on East Houston Street. Let's go to smart bicycle lanes. I think it would be well worth the investment.
And now we have a question from Stephen on Twitter. District 2 is especially vulnerable to climate change impacts. How strongly would the candidate support the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan that's already being put before City Council? That's something that you will be voting on when you whoever wins this runoff. So, Keith, Tony, sir, where are you on this Climate and Adaptation Plan?
Well, first of all, that's a very important subject, the climate. It affects all of us. It affects those of us who are here now. And, of course, it's one of those subjects that will affect even those who aren't here yet, the unborn. So we are very much for the Climate Action Adaptation Plan. We want it to be smart. We want it to be reasonable. We don't want to kill jobs in the process, but we do want to take care of our climate in our city because we have a beautiful city. We do, and we want to make sure that people are safe and people feel healthy here. We don't want to exacerbate the medical issues that we've already talked about that we have in our city. So I think we'll always – and anything can be changed. And maybe the Climate Action Adaptation Plan may need a little tweaking, but certainly it's an important plan.
And now to Jada Andrews Sullivan. How are you planning to vote or looking at this Climate Action Plan for the city?
The Climate Action Plan is desperately needed. We need to start doing something now, make the small steps to ensure that our climate and our citizens of the city of San Antonio are very well taken care of, adding oxygenated plants, adding more green trees, more green space. Those are the smaller things that we can do immediately to start taking place with helping our atmosphere and then working as we strive to become those coal-free plants. And that is some of the things that we desperately need to do. Adding more water features into our downtown area, as we know that it is so extremely hot in the summertime in San Antonio, to where people can go get those cooling off spots. Those are some of the things that we can do immediately without affecting the pockets of the residents of District 2 and of San Antonio, and then take the steps that we need to work with CPS to help them with that $5.8 billion budget that they still have on the coal plants as we go forward.
The number to call in if you've got a question for our candidates, Jada Andrews Sullivan and Keith Tony. These are the runoff candidates for District 2. You can call in at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're having a forum with these candidates. Yesterday, we heard from District 4. We're going to hear from District 6 on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we're going to spend an hour with Mayor Ron Nuremberg as he is seeking re-election. He'll take your questions there. And on Thursday, District 6 Councilmember Greg Brockhouse joins us for a full hour to discuss his runoff for mayor. Your questions and your calls are big parts of all of these conversations. I hope you can tune in and I hope you can take part. Now let's go back to the phones with more questions. And this is David. Hi, David. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm a homeowner in Mankey Park in District 2. And something we're very concerned with is rising taxes with historic district moves. I'm wondering what each of the candidates' stance is on historic districts and how they affect neighborhoods in District 2.
All right, David, thank you for the call. And Jada Andrews Sullivan, you have 2 minutes.
Well, thank you, David. I know Mankey Park, you guys really are part of the NCD that you're looking at, and how you run the community in which you live in the neighborhood is truly wanting to keep that historic demographics, that historic view of what you guys have within Mankey Park. But then looking at how we are going through the development, how we're going through transformation and transitioning of our communities is a must for the city council to look at. We definitely need to work on getting truly with our state legislative and helping them understand that doing something to lower the school taxes that we have, which are the biggest majority of our property tax, and making sure that they step up as a state legislative and give according to our school budget will take some of the relief off of the residents that we have here in the city of San Antonio to help ensure that those property taxes come down a little bit more, and then making sure that our citizens in our community of the city of San Antonio understand what exemptions they qualify for to help put that cap on those taxes. We must educate, we must protest, we must advocate for our citizens to not be displaced as we go through this transition. Thank you again.
And Keith Tony, what to do about the historic districts in some neighborhoods? It is a hot topic.
It is, and especially in Mankey Park, and we recognize that. Because you live in a historic district and you live in a historic home, should not become punitive. You should not be penalized because you do that. So I recognize that there's value in historic homes, and we want to maintain them, and we thank those of you who move into these historic homes and historic neighborhoods. But we also, again, don't want you to be penalized because you've done that. So we need some common sense recognition of our historic district so that residents who move in there can make common sense changes to their properties that they've purchased, and again, not be penalized because they chose to live in a historic district in a historic home.
And that was Keith Toney, District 2 candidate for San Antonio City Council, and Jada Andrews Sullivan is with us. She's also the other runoff candidate for District 2. Let's go back to the phones with Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I'm wondering if the candidates, I'm a D2 resident. I live in Government Hill. I'm wondering if y'all could let me know who you plan to vote for mayor. Or if you'll be endorsing a particular candidate for mayor and why.
All right, Tiffany, thank you for the call. And Keith Toney, go right ahead. Tell us, you have 2 minutes to talk about where you feel about the mayoral race and if you have a candidate that you particularly are attached to.
I do intend to vote for someone for mayor. I do have a candidate that I prefer, but I've been focusing on our race, and I'm sure you can understand that. And I think I'll leave it right there.
Okay, and now let's go to Jada Andrews Sullivan. Talk about what are your thoughts about the mayor's race?
Well, thank you so much. When it comes to the mayor's race, we do have two individuals that are passionate about the city of San Antonio. I don't have an endorsement. I have been truly just looking at what we can do to work together in cohesiveness with the city council and with whomever the city of San Antonio decides to put and elect as our next mayor. So thank you so much.
Okay. Quick answers for that question. It can be politically tricky moving forward. Let's ask you about an issue that has been particularly pointed in District 2. And that is the question of gentrification. We're seeing neighborhoods in that area seeing a lot of changes, and it's been a challenge. It's also, so 2 minutes for Jada Andrews Sullivan to talk about what are your thoughts about gentrification and how you would be dealing with that as a city council member.
Well, thank you so much. When it comes to gentrification, we are seeing so much development, so many apartment complexes, so many different ways that the homes are being renovated and rehabbed. And so when you look at gentrification, we as District 2 must come to the table as a whole, bring all of the neighborhood association presidents, bring the concerns of the community, bring the district, bring the zoning, bring the city council, bring it to the table. We know that we are in need of a revitalization and an uplifting of District 2, but at what expense? What kind of smart development are we bringing in? Are we uplifting our small business owners in this aspect? Are we giving them the tax abatements that they need to actually hire from within the district so that we can combat the economic segregation that we have within District 2? We need to start looking at exactly how do we bring in businesses, bring in corporations, bring in development that enhance the lifestyles of the residents of District 2. That's how you combat gentrification. You combat it smartly. You combat it with full transparency, and you combat it with the complete here and the acknowledgement of the community of the District 2 to make sure that everyone is being heard, everyone is at the table. When you work cohesively, you work in harmony, you bring about a unison that makes a difference for everyone that is there, and that's how you combat it. You educate, you get the mind frames of those that don't understand it, the knowledge of what they need to make sure that we are doing this smartly.
And now, Keith Toney, if you can talk about your thoughts on gentrification and what can be done about it from the city council.
Yes, as I always say, that gentrification train has left the station. It's not coming back, so it's here to stay. And you can look at that. Fortunately, unfortunately, there are two sides to that coin. It's directly tied to property taxes and property valuations. We now on the Near East Side in particular have been discovered, as I like to say in quotation marks. That is to say that others have discovered that we're close to downtown. We have a great proximity to downtown. They've discovered that when you move to District 2, especially the Near East Side, you're close to the Pearl. You're close to the Whitty Museum, which, by the way, is in District 2 as well. So that's not a bad thing that people are coming in, renovating homes and doing that sort of thing, except that it shouldn't happen at the expense of people who have been there for generations. And this thing tends to disproportionately affect black and brown people who have been in these neighborhoods for generations and poor people of all colors. And so that's why my concern is that they're being displaced because of gentrification. Again, because they're being taxed out of their homes because others are moving in, property values are rising. You can look at that as not necessarily a bad thing. That's okay. And I know others say that when my property tax rise, my property value rise, the value of your property next door is going to rise as well. But not if that person is elderly and they especially cannot pay their taxes. So it's left the station. We can't stop it, but we need to take steps to manage it.
So the other side of the issue of gentrification and how it's raising property values, also home prices, and some people are finding themselves struggling to find affordable places to live. Affordable housing is an issue that San Antonio City Council is wrestling with. And Keith Toney, you have 2 minutes to tell us about your plan for affordable housing.
Yeah. Again, our great developers are coming in. We've been discovered. And so they want to be there. They're there. They're in District 2, primarily on the Near East Side. So what we're saying is, listen, set aside a realistic portion of your development for low-income folks that is affordable housing. And, of course, that word affordable is something that it's a moving target. It's going to change. But affordable housing, as we stand right here, right now, in real time, whatever you want to define it as, the affordable housing, so that people don't have to leave their neighborhood if they choose not to. If they choose not to. So that's the thing, is to tie it into the developers. Have a conversation with them. It doesn't have to be antagonistic. Let's just have a conversation. We all want the same thing.
And Jada Andrews Sullivan, affordable housing for San Antonio.
Affordable housing is desperately needed on the District 2 side of San Antonio. We've gotten rid of all of our community housing units. And so what used to be affordable, such as the East Terrace, the Wheatley Courts, the Sutton Homes, those things are now diminishing. When you look at the new development that's coming into District 2, we have the New Light Village that will be sitting right in the heart of one of the upcoming developments, which is the Echo East Project. So we need to look and make sure that we're not going to displace those that have affordable housing in order to bring in more housing. And then we need to look at bringing in the philanthropy part of the development that is coming in. What are you going to do to help this next person make sure that those legacy homeowners stay in those homes? Are you going to assist with them having property tax relief? How are you going to combat that? We have so many abandoned apartment complexes and buildings that the city can step up and say, we can turn these into affordable housing. We can also use this as a way to help our homeless situation, to get them off the street. If they have veterans benefits, if they have a pension, if they have some form of Social Security, we start looking at making those steps. We start looking at making sure everyone has a place to call home without displacing a community that is now transitioning into something that we haven't seen in the last 10 to 20 years.
The collection of oral histories sometimes uncovers memories that were long concealed or forgotten.
There was no such thing as an unimportant role in any one of these endeavors. And yes, they oftentimes will tell us in the middle of an interview, I've never said that, not even to my wife.
Maggie Rivas Rodriguez of the Voces Oral History Project joins us on the next Fronteras. download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Jada Andrews-Sullivan, she's a candidate for District 2. We're hearing from both of the candidates. Keith Toney is with us as well as they run for city council. So in District 2, there is a historic icon. Many people look at the Hay Street Bridge as something that is important, significant, needs to be protected. But there are some issues surrounding that area. How important is the Hay Street Bridge to you? What needs to be done to protect it? And some issues have come before the city. It seems to have been fumbled. What are your thoughts? Jada Andrews-Sullivan.
When it comes to the Hay Street Bridge and you do your research of why is it so important, it was the passageway for African Americans to go from one side of the city to the next side of the city. And so when you start looking at the true culture and the true history of why so many are fighting for this to be a protected landmark, it's that reasoning. When I spoke with my mother, she told me that she remembers crossing over the Hay Street Bridge into downtown when they still had the colored and the white water fountains. And so when you start looking at your true history, you want to preserve it. And when you look at the development that's taking place, we truly have to take that step forward. What I've done, it was a little controversial, is I actually went to Mr. Mitch Meyer and I sat down with him and had that conversation with how do we combat the controversy? How do we rectify the situations? And so at this present time, Councilman Art Hall and Mr. Mitch Meyer are in a form of resolution to where we do not block that view shed. We do not take away the history, and we do not take away all of the efforts, time, and hard spent energy that was put in by the Hayes Restoration Group. The Esperanza Peace and Justice Center was actually able to speak to Mr. Meyer themselves, and that resolution will take place soon. So thank you for that.
And now, Keith Toney, can you tell us about your relationship with the Hay Street Bridge and what needs to be done with that?
It certainly is an icon. You can't turn on the television without seeing someone, some business person, making a commercial on the Hay Street Bridge. So that's why it doesn't need to belong to just one person. We just have one person. They own it. They do what they want with it. They restrict access to it. We can't have that. We can't have a stolen view for a few. That just isn't going to work. Recognizing property rights. And Mr. Meyer owns the property, so that the adjacent property, and that's fine. If a compromise can be reached, I'm all for it. And I applaud Councilman Art Hall, who is attempting to make that compromise. But that bridge needs to be accessible to the people that it, like it has been, as Jada just said about so many years ago, her mom even crossed it as a child. So it needs to be accessible to everyone. And if there are any plans to do anything otherwise, then there's going to be a problem with me as a council person. I don't think there will be a problem. I think that a compromise can be reached.
So the question a lot of people are asking is, how do we get to this place with Hay Street Bridge over all these years? And I think part of it is because we haven't had a consistent leadership on District 2. We've had some representation, but not leadership. And so I'm wondering, and that has to do with all these changes, 5 council members in 5 years. I'm not trying to point a finger at any particular individual. It's just circumstances. But having, so if you are elected to this office, will you stay in that office, and will you try to unite the area, and how will you do that? How will you be more than a representative? How will you be a leader? And Keith Toney.
Yeah, you have to be more than a representative. And again, experience matters. I've been there, so I can tell you what it takes. And what it takes is someone who really cares and has compassion for the community. 5 council persons, as you said, in 5 years. There's no continuity of purpose. You can't do it. There's no continuity of planning. Can't do it. When you have that much change, that is just too much change, it's too frequent. And despite the best efforts of the council persons, I don't think anybody comes on saying, sure, I sure hope I'm a bad council person. No one comes on council saying that. But when you have 5 in 5 years, you just don't have continuity of purpose. I won't go anywhere. I have no other political aspirations. I don't. I just want to do as much good as I can for as many people as I can for as long as I can. And that's what I plan to do.
And Jada Andrews-Sullivan, the question to you, 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. As far as continuity, we've had too many that come in, look at a platform to build themselves, and then move on. For District 2, that's my home. That's where I go back to and lay my head. That's where my mother is. That's where my children are. That's where my family and friends go to church. So we need someone that is very consistent, someone that's going to unify the community. You bring the community out. You don't wait for them to come to you. You serve as long as they elect you to be in that position, and you do it with an open heart. You do it with an open mind. You do it with an open door, because having access to your council person is desperately what our community is crying for. I'm that person. I'm looking forward to being there, and I'm looking forward to serving District 2 with the utmost respect that it is needed.
This is Texas Public Radio, The Source. We're talking with the candidates for District 2 in the runoff election, Jada Andrews Sullivan and Keith Toney. And the election day is June 8th. Let's go back to the phones, 210-614-8980. You can call in with your questions for the candidates. Monica. Hi, Monica. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
My question is, I know this past week or two they had a tour of one of the retail spots, one of the old warehouses that's being turned into a retail spot. The small, really small businesses were not invited to that tour. So my question is, what are these particular two candidates going to do when there's an opportunity for a business to grow and expand on the east side besides bringing or outsourcing from a different part of town?
All right, Monica, thank you for that. And let's go to Jada Andrews Sullivan. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you so much. Yes, I was made aware that that tour had taken place. And a lot of our small businesses have asked why they were not invited. That's where the full transparency of the city of San Antonio needs to come in place. We cannot just open the door for larger corporations and larger businesses to have part of that. We have one of the largest TERS that sits within the District 2. So whoever is elected as the city council person for District 2 will have the oversight of that. We need to make sure that that person doesn't just look at a bubble of people that are receiving these benefits. We need to make sure that every business is touched. We need to make sure that we have the certifications for our small businesses and then open the door for them to get the government contracts, open the door for them to become city vendors. If we're going to truly talk about making District 2 the shining light on the hill, then we have to start making sure that our small businesses are incorporated into all of the things that are coming within District 2. It's not a certain few. It's we for everyone, and we is the key, and that's how we make that happen, Monica. Thank you.
And now, Keith Toney, sir, you have 2 minutes to talk about your plans for small businesses in District 2.
Traditionally, San Antonio has done a great job in trying to financially incentivize large businesses to come here, to relocate to San Antonio. I say we put that same emphasis or even more emphasis on incentivizing small businesses who've been here, legacy businesses, hiring locally, and taking care of our families for generations. We put that same emphasis, financial and otherwise, into retaining them. Not just recruiting others, but retaining those that are homegrown. They've been here for a while. So we need to do that. I have talked to city officials, gone down there with Mr. T.C. Calvert, Small Business Coalition. We've gone down there and talked to city officials. I was proud to have been invited to come because I'm known as a small business advocate and a business advocate, period, but especially with the emphasis on small businesses. So the city needs to do a better job, and my job as councilperson will be to see that that starts happening in incentivizing our businesses that have been here to stay here.
And now let's go back to the phones with Tara Ronda. Tara Ronda, go ahead with your question.
I would like to know how the candidates would approach the problems with annexation in the city of San Antonio.
All right, thank you for the question. And Keith Toney, annexation.
Annexation. Again, it's a tricky question, but here's the thing. We in District 2 are going to find ourselves in trouble as far as having a number of citizens, the number of citizens we need to be effective in the city. If we're not careful and we don't annex some areas, perhaps some areas that are now county areas, then District 2 is going to, in effect, be swallowed up by the numbers in 9 and 10. And so we need smart annexation to be sure, and we need to be able to afford to annex these areas. But we need to think outside the box right now, because District 2 is going to be actually be rendered null and void as far as political will and political power in the city of San Antonio if we don't really look hard at perhaps annexing some areas that are now belonging to the county.
And now let's go to Jada Andrews Sullivan.
Thank you so much for that question. When we are out and about, even during the electoral time, that was one of the main things that were on people's mind, is why do they not fit within the scheme of San Antonio? They sit right on the edge of District 2, and they have no voice to vote for what happens within the city. They pay city taxes, they get city water, they get city trash, but they don't have a voting right. So we must bring them back into the fold of what District 2 is. When you look at the way that District 2 is annexed, you look at the zoning and the area of how District 2, it looks a little different because you have one side of the street of Rigsby, that's District 3, but then you have the opposite side of Rigsby, that's District 2. Making things work in cohesion makes a difference. We need to bring back in the Northamptons. We need to bring back in the Rigsby to where it matches as one. We lost a lot of our voice and a lot of our voting people and an area when we started annexing just one side of the street to a whole nother district. And when we started annexing the Northamptons out of District 2, and now that they have no voice, they don't know whether they're Converse, they don't know whether they're San Antonio. All they know is that they're paying the city of San Antonio, but they have no voice in the city of San Antonio. We need to change that rhetoric for sure.
Question that has been hot during this election season has been one surrounding chicken sandwiches, Chick-fil-A at the San Antonio International Airport, and concerns that somehow this is related to religious freedom. Jada Andrews Sullivan, if you could talk about how you would have voted on the Chick-fil-A issue and where do you think we should be going on this moving forward?
Thank you so much. When it comes to Chick-fil-A, I look at the dynamics of my family. I have many family members that are part of the LGBTQ community. But then I also looked at Chick-fil-A as a franchise and an organization. So when you're looking at franchises, you cannot take the head of the entity and have their beliefs be your beliefs or your beliefs be their beliefs. We as a city must truly listen to our community, listen to our constituents. If they're asking for it and that franchise owner hasn't discriminated, hasn't caused any laws to be broken against the community, and the community feels that they are going to welcome them into that establishment, we let them come. If you look at San Francisco, you have many Chick-fil-A's that are owned, operated, and run by members of the LGBTQ community. So we must start looking as an inclusive city. And if they haven't done anything against or had any infractions on our NDO, we let them come.
And Keith Tony, the Chick-fil-A question for you, sir.
I saw that Chick-fil-A decision and as misguided at best and at worst an assault on religious freedom. To say to this private company, you can't do business in our airport because we don't agree with your business model. Chick-fil-A, to my knowledge, has never been sued for discrimination against anyone. That doesn't mean I may agree with everything that their company founder agrees with, but that's okay. That if the people want them there, why not have them there? I think this was a glaring example of municipal overreach, and I think that we're going to see political retribution because of it, and rightly so. These folks have a right to run their business the way they want, to close on Sundays. Some of us old enough to remember when we couldn't play sports on Sundays in many of our communities because it was a holy day. And so there's nothing wrong with them deciding to do that. That's how they want to run their business. I think it was an assault on religious freedom.
Okay, and now let's go to a question about Connect SA is a plan that's been developed by County Judge Nelson Wolf and also by Mayor Ron Nuremberg, looking forward for San Antonio, a transportation comprehensive transportation solution. It's very aggressive. It's going to take some innovation. It's going to take some revenue. Where are you on Connect SA? Keith Tony, 2 minutes.
Oh, we need better transportation. We actually do, especially if we're not going to build a hospital in District 2. A full-service hospital, because our folks are traveling, taking 2 or 3 buses to come to the medical center, to get to the VA. and do other things that they need to do to take care of their health. So that's a big thing. Now, let's think outside the box a little bit. And I know, and I'm a fiscal conservative, so I always look at price. And price does run things, and I understand that. But we also have to look at the other side of that. There's a cost to not doing some things. So maybe wheeled trolleys. I don't know. It doesn't have to be railed. Maybe wheeled trolleys. But something, we need better transportation. Anyone who's driven in San Antonio for more than 2 weeks on our highways knows that we need some innovation when it comes to our transportation plans.
And now let's go to Jada Andrews Sullivan. Can you talk about the Connect SA plan, which would involve all sorts of innovations to move people around San Antonio in a more effective manner?
Yes, sir. When it comes to Connect SA, we have a population that works late night shifts. You have the medical center area. Most people get off at 3 in the morning. Downtown, if you're working on a weekend, you get off at 2. What are we providing for those residents to get to and from home? We don't have a 24-hour transportation system, and because of the way that our economics are set up, they're not making the money that they need to get Uber and Lyft. So we need to start looking at something that can help transport our late-night workers home safely. Also, with our HOV, we need an HOV lane to where we have a transportation system that picks residents up and travels for a 20-minute time frame without desperate stops and multiple stops to get them into the medical center area. And that will get people to work effectively, on time. You have residents that are in Mankey Park that say they have to walk, you know, blocks to get to Broadway to get to a bus. We need to really start looking at what is the most cost-effective, what is the most efficient, what is the most time-effective way to get our residents to and from work, to and from school, and making sure that our students and our youth actually have transportation to get them to their jobs, because a lot of them don't have the finances to have a car. And then once we start looking at a better transportation system, we can actually start tackling some of the emission problems that we have with our city transportation as well.
All right, now it's time for our closing remarks. Each candidate gets a minute. And so, Jada Andrews Sullivan, you have 1 minute to seal the deal.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Again, District 2, your voice, your vote matters. This is a time where we have to make the step forward to put the person in the seat that will truly make the difference. In 5 years with five different council people, what can we say? A lot of them are here and a lot of them have not made that step forward. We need to change the rhetoric of District 2. Now is the time. Our dream is now, and we must move forward, District 2. We must take that. It is our time to work together, cohesively, having that accountability, the accessibility, the action, and full transparency. Again, I'm Jada Andrews Sullivan, and I'm looking forward to bringing District 2 the dream that we need. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
And that was Jada Andrews Sullivan, District 2 candidate for the runoff. Let's go to Keith Toney. Sir, you have 1 minute.
Thank you again for having us here. Thank you, Jada. Experience matters, ladies and gentlemen. It really does. I'm a former school board member, 15 years, former council member. I can hit the ground running. There will be no learning curve. No learning curve. We need to have someone who can do that right away and start attacking problems immediately. Someone who already has a relationship downtown with the movers and shakers on city council and outside of city council, primarily the mayor, primarily city manager. So there'll be no learning curve. It's a 2-year term, and then you have to run again. So you can't take 30 days, 40 days to try to learn where things are, how things work. I know how it works down there. I humbly ask for your vote so that we can move things forward very quickly, because our issues are not waiting. Let's move things forward. Keith Toney, experience matters.
And Keith Toney is a candidate for District 2. Jada Andrews Sullivan is with us. She's also a candidate in the runoff. The early voting begins on May 28th, ends on June 4th. Election day is June 8th. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams. Direction provided by News Director Dan Katz. Technical assistance provided by Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.